Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for March 29th. We're almost done with this month. We didn't podcast last week.
No.
And
And you didn't blog either. You took a blog hiatus for 5 days.
Yeah, something like that. I started to get people writing to me to say, what's wrong with you? Pull yourself together, man. No, it wasn't like that. But.
Well, why should we? Because our.
Yeah, our dog died. Our dog died. And it should be like. Well, I think I tried to tell people. If it was just the normal kind of whatever, I think it would have been really terrible. And we would have, you know, I wouldn't have stopped blogging. But it's like the culmination of a really, really bad year,
right?
March last year, and it was really surprising to me, so I just couldn't pull myself together.
Well, it was very sad. He's a good dog.
And yeah,
he's
only 10
10 or 11, not quite sure about that, but yeah, he was young, and he died of kidney failure. So
and diabetes.
We didn't know he had diabetes, and we didn't know he had the other one until too late, and so it was very sad. I don't know, it's like, it's the thing with dogs dying is they don't know what's going on, really, and they it's very sad to, it's just human beings, at least you can kind of,
you can say, well, you're going to die now,
talk to, and they can think, yeah, but dogs just look to you like you're the only one to help them, and that you can't help them. It's really horrible, but you were able to be with him, so
yeah, he died here, and so that was good in the middle of the night.
The last thing we wanted was to take him to the vet and then have the vet just give him a shot, because we couldn't go in the vet. You can't go in.
Yeah, so. I mean, I don't know if we could have requested, but they said, I mean, you have to hand your animal over, and you can't go in here, which is also part of the problem, because the vet didn't really know how. We tried to say to the person who took him away that he was really sick, and the vet didn't really catch on to that. But anyway, I didn't expect to lose my dog last week, and so I didn't really
knock you back.
Yeah, it knocked me back. And you know, all through COVID, as people have died and things have gone really badly, I felt like I've been able to roll with it. You know, I've worked on trusting God. Other people have totally come unglued, and I've come unglued a little bit, but I've kept standing up again, you know, and just trying to discipline myself not to give up.
Yeah.
Well, last week I didn't actually give up. I was like, I'm actually not going to, I've decided I'm not going to grieve this. I bought a mystery novel. And like, whenever I start to think about it, I just read it on my phone. And I just am shoving all of this down where the light don't shine. That's my strategy for this.
Which is exactly what we tell our parishioners
here. Yes.
We say, when you're sad, shove it down in the dark.
Just don't look at it. Just don't deal. That's what I'm doing right now. Because I can't.
I know.
It's too much. So, now you're trying to make me talk about it. I wasn't going to talk about it. I'm not talking about my dog or anything that matters. So let us now pivot to Lil Nas X, which is what I thought we should talk about today.
Well, we also are going to talk about Holy Week.
Yeah, Holy Week.
Yeah. So Lil Nas, yeah.
Yeah.
So what's it? So the Satan shoes? Is that?
I don't understand. Apparently the shoes are advertised that they have a drop of human blood in them.
Yeah, I mean, it's like
is that for real? Like,
I think they do. I think they have human blood in them.
Where would you get human blood from?
I don't know. It was, I watched the video that you should. Did you see the video?
I think we watched it together. It accidentally. Was the most vile.
Disgusting. I mean,
it was vile.
I mean, I remember when I was a kid. Okay, so here's a get off my lawn moment.
Yeah, get off.
So when I was a kid, I remember watching MTV, and videos were kind of racy when I was a kid. But homosexuality was still kind of like,
he was still a little bit taboo.
Yeah,
so not totally, but
so like cool guys would never do the things that Lil Nas does in this video without being
super ashamed.
Super ashamed, right? Exactly. Much less with Satan.
Yeah.
adding the homoeroticism to
the Satan
the
thing.
Satan thing.
Is like, I mean, it's epically biblical.
It's Romans 1, right?
Yeah. So this the irony. Somebody, a friend, put it much better than me. It's perfect. The perfect irony. I should have gotten this up. Is, oh, maybe I've gone past it. They must have gone past
it. You know, we're not supposed to have dead air, right?
I know we're not supposed to have dead air, and I'm looking for this. Like, it was just like brilliant. Well, there's so many iron. Oh, yeah. A Satanist saying we don't worship the Christian idea of Satan. We just worship proceeds to describe the Christian idea of Satan is the funniest thing of the day.
Say it again. Yeah.
We don't, the Satanist who says we don't worship the Christian idea of Satan, we just worship proceeds to describe the Christian idea of Satan is
right. We just worship ourselves because that was the thing, right?
We don't worship Satan. Okay. So you do worship Satan.
So you sent me an article. So we should be just said with the shoe. If you haven't heard about the Satan shoes, Nike, these are Nike shoes, right?
I think so. I thought it was a joke, but then I don't think it's a joke. I just do want to put it out there that maybe it is a joke.
Maybe there isn't human blood in the shoes. Right, but Nike is marketing
Satan shoes.
Satan shoes, and the idea is like he fell from. It has Luke, it has a Bible verse in the side of it, Luke 10, where the disciples have gone out two by two, and
Satan fell from the sky.
And Jesus says, when they come back, I saw Satan fall from the sky. Right. So that's the text they're quoting, and somehow that makes, I guess.
Do they think that's a good thing?
Like, well, like now Satan, he fell from the sky, and here are his shoes, I think. So I guess you put them on, and you run like Satan.
That's.
I mean, I remember as a kid, I used to think, hey, if I buy these shoes, I'm going to run faster. And I guess that's what they're trying to say with these. With these shoes is that Satan will make you run faster. So maybe 66. He will. Maybe you sell your soul and you run faster. You buy these, you give Satan your money.
And then
he gives you speed.
Which is what all of us want.
It's totally worth it.
There's 666 individually numbered pairs. And
oh gosh,
each one contains a drop of human blood. I can't believe that that's true.
I think it is, babe.
And then another, he also made Lil Nas X also made Jesus shoes with water in them and a cross.
Okay.
I feel like I love this. I feel like this is so great. So you could buy both the Satan and the Jesus shoes.
That's whatever you're feeling
like. And then whatever you're feeling like.
Whatever your mood. Do you feel like you're going to twerk with Satan in hell, or do you feel like you're going to. I mean, that's what's so anyway, the advertising campaign for this is him or the it's a song of his, I guess, that he wrote. It's all bound up, right? So his music, the shoe, the video, Nike. I mean, talk about.
It's good marketing.
Yeah. So in the video.
I don't think anyone should watch it.
No, don't watch it.
I don't think anyone. I shouldn't have even linked the article, actually. I felt bad for doing that.
He climbs on Satan's throne with Satan in it and twerks in his face. And it's a really gay, weird thing. If you know what twerking is, don't.
Yeah, don't look. Don't Google that either. Yeah.
And then he climbs behind Satan, cuts his throat, takes his crown. And I guess becomes Satan himself.
Yeah. Right? So, And wait, the line that I loved so much was the that he's not decentering, but it was a word like that. That he was dethroning. Well, not dethroning. It was one of those deconstructionist words that people use when they're thinking about, you know, decentering whiteness or stuff. Of course, here's more dead air.
Are you looking for something?
I'm looking for the. He's like, I have so many things in my head, and I don't actually know where I found them.
The Rolling Stone video already.
Article. They said it was presumptuous, provocative imagery. And Rolling Stone didn't understand why. Okay.
Yeah, we should go through that Rolling Stone article.
Dismantling the throne of judgment and punishment that has kept many of us from embracing our true selves out of fear. Yeah. I was like, I love that. Because, you know, you're dismantling the patriarchy. You're dismantling whiteness. You're dismantling all the things. So I love that you could dismantle the throne of judgment.
Who knew it was so easy? You just have to break product
in your heart,
product place shoes,
and dismantle.
Twerk in front of a picture of Satan or an actor playing Satan in a music video, and it's dismantled.
The throne of judgment.
It's great.
That's no longer a problem for you.
No longer worry about. Yep, that's it. No more God. No more actual Satan.
Yeah, I love that. Like CRT comes to the pit of hell. Wonderful.
I mean, I'm sure both God and Satan are quaking in there.
Yeah, I'm sure God is
having
like,
having been dismantled.
These shoes have human blood in them.
God is really freaked
okay.
Out.
What's creepy though, the human blood thing and the Satanism is that there are. I don't think I can say very much about this. There are cases where people are kidnapped and their blood is taken for various reasons, for ritual things. And then they are...
It probably happens in America too sometimes.
And then there are people who are sacrificed. Like blood, human sacrifice happens.
Yeah.
So the shoes with the drop of human blood, it's kind of like a bad...
Yeah.
Place to go.
So, like, because what you have here is the spilling of blood in a marketing campaign to sell something in the name of Satan.
I know.
It feels
biblical.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel biblical?
It feels quite biblical and not in a good way.
So, on Twitter, a lot of people were like, all the Christians who are upset about this and didn't care about all those people who were shot. There's memes. And I wanted to be like, the Christians were also upset about the people being shot. Like, Christians aren't for... There's no choice. You don't have to make a choice between...
Good. I'm so glad people were shot. And oh, wow. What about these Satan shooters? Yeah. Bad.
Yeah.
Does that ever happen? We
could be like, actually, we're both, not for either of those things.
Both are bad.
Yeah.
Like, mass murder and Satan shoes, they're both bad.
They're both bad. And if you're dismantling the throne of judgment, like...
Someone was like... there were Christians I read on Twitter apologizing to Lil Nas for the conservative reaction to his shoes. This is almost a parody of culture. Like, this is like the Babylon Bee more than the... I mean, this is... If it's not a joke, if there are actually shoes being marketed...
And then
regardless, even if it is a joke, people are taking it seriously. And
then scolding people who think that, like, selling your soul by means of a pair of shoes to Satan isn't problematical.
Right. So this is where we just, you know, I think we've reached the point, and we've probably reached it a long time ago, where we should just scoff at the scolders, right? Just laugh at them and say what you want to say. I mean, anyone who comes onto Twitter or Facebook or into your personal life and says, you should be ashamed for whatever.
Being upset
unless
about.
Unless it's something biblical, just laugh them off. Because it doesn't matter. They're woke scolds. They need to be they need to be laughed at and just continue to talk.
Yeah, I mean, imagine, I don't want to own a pair of shoes that has a drop of human blood in them. I think that's bad.
Yeah.
And I don't think that somebody should, in an inclusive society, I shouldn't be scolded for not wanting to
have blood, Satan blood sneakers.
Yeah. But that's where inclusivity takes you finally.
Well, it's the same kind of same kind of thinking that goes into, well, if you're not attracted to a trans man or a trans woman, then you're a bigot.
You're a phobe.
You're a transphobe, right? So if despite the fact that you're, you know, hardwired to want to be with people of the opposite sex, if you don't recognize this man with a beard and an Adam's apple as a woman.
Well, as our child says, whenever she was reading Shakespeare, she says, if a man puts on the clothes of a woman, no one will be able to tell that he's a man. And if a man with the clothes of a woman then puts on the clothes of a man, which is what every single Shakespeare play is, where the male actor would dress as a woman and then pretend to be a man, everyone would obviously be confused. And that's how, otherwise, I mean, of course, you can never tell someone's sexuality
if they're wearing different clothes. Is that really the Shakespearean theme?
Yeah, I know, like a lot of plays, the women dress up as men and the men are all confused and think they're men. But in the era of Shakespeare, women were not allowed to be actors. So it would be a man dressed as a woman, dressed as a man. And everyone would be obviously taken in.
I feel like women can dress up as men and make it work more than men can dress up as women and make it work.
Except for Elliot Page, nay Ellen. Oh my God. I saw something that she's like, her version of masculinity too is the lowest of the totem pole in a hierarchical male system.
Because not just beta male, but like
not even like on the spectrum.
Somewhere down the C's and D's level.
Yeah. Which is really, she doesn't know that apparently, right. That like she didn't even.
Right. That's what it kind of to me. You're making a point, but this is not what we're talking about, but it makes a point that you've been making for a long time that, when someone tries to transition, what they're not really becoming they're not really, of course, you know, this becoming a male, or if they're a female or a female or a male, but they're also like projecting their own weird ideas of what a male is or what a weird idea of what a female is onto actual maleness. And so it doesn't work. You're not, this is the what a woman thinks a man is never really what a man is. And what a man thinks a woman is never really what a woman is. You can't be that.
You can't be it because you don't fully embody it, because you can never actually go there, even in your own mind. It's always performative.
And it's a character. It's a caricature. Right.
Which is why you end up with so many transgender people trying to become women. And they pick Caitlyn Jenner picks a kind of femaleness that literally very, very few women actually even want to have. But you get, the guys that walk up and down Conklin Avenue in fishnet stockings, like, women don't usually do that. Why don't you pick the church lady option of femininity?
That doesn't happen,
like,
does it?
Wear a long skirt and, you know, a blazer.
It's like hypersexualized. And that same, you know, it's the same thing with, I mean, this is why homosexual men one of the reasons that can be so, it is already perverse, but it can be even worse, is because the male sex drive is so much more overdriven than the women.
You're not allowed to say that though, because that makes you a white patriarchal evangelical. Right. You cannot say that the sex drive between men and women is in any way different. It is not different. And if you say that it's different,
who said that now? Who's saying that now?
Kristen Copus Demet.
Wait, really?
Well, that's part of what fueled evangelicalism, is that evangelicals think that men's sex drive is really strong, and as the culture became completely and totally sexualized, they tried to cope with that by getting young men and women not to have sex with each other. And that included explaining to men that their sex drive was really much stronger, and that they should, what women, wives should have sex with their own husbands so that their husbands wouldn't go have sex with other people. But that's, you shouldn't say that, because.
Are these people human? Are these people, I mean, do these people have actual human experience? Because is Kristen Metz married? Or is it?
I don't want to say anything. I have no idea anything, I mean, about her
actually
personal
be
life.
Just actual human experience. You go beyond past John Wayne, back in the past, you know, back in the old, ye old times.
Ye old Bible days.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the way human society is set up, is with marriage and the way the family is set up, is in large part designed to channel and tame the male sex drive in an acceptable way that doesn't kill people and destroy things.
Yeah, I mean,
this is not just John Wayne, 20th century American masculinity. It's
no, I think you're mistaken. It just really came into being as the Victorians had a hard time they were worried about effete, too feminine men, the Victorian era. And so they developed a myth.
So in the ancient Near East, when like roving, marauding men would destroy settlements, kill all the males and take the females.
I don't think
that meant nothing. That was just like.
Yeah, like the Sabine women, that's lost in the mists of time. No one knows anything about that. That means nothing.
That's another thing with, I mean, the way, and I'm using a broad generalized term to stereotype lots of people, but the
you shouldn't do that.
But the way the woke think about history is very, this is one of the connections you can, one of the connection points you can see with Marxism and wokeness, is the way they have to reinterpret history to fit their philosophy in is just so facile and
flat,
right? You can't be a real historian and be actually woke, because history doesn't fit. You have to make it fit. You have to reinterpret it in a way. So I just posted it a minute ago. The on Facebook, one of the canon theologians of C4SO, whatever it is, the Churches for the Sake of Others.
Don't do that. Stop it. You're going to get in so much trouble. You need to stop with your... It's Holy Week, and you need to repent of your...
No, again, I'm sorry. I will not... If you name your diocese Churches for the Sake of Others, you are already putting yourself out there as the Pharisee standing in the temple in Luke 18. Look at my righteousness. So I'm going to laugh at that name. I'm a Christian for the sake of others. Not for myself. I, as opposed to you...
You can't say that.
For the sake of others. You clearly are for the sake of you.
Your diocese.
So anyway.
I just want to separate myself from you right now, because when you get in trouble, I don't want to be in trouble along with you. I want to just make a little distinction that I am not saying what you're saying. You're laughing. I'm prepared to laugh at Lil Nas X's Satan shoes, but I don't believe in being mean to other Christians.
I'm not being mean. I'm just pointing out the command of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 6 about making your piety public and professing your goodness to others is violated by the name of this diocese in the ACNA. With all seriousness, right? We are the ones who fast publicly without washing our faces. Anyway, so this tweet came on, this tweet by Allison E. Murray, and you know you're dealing with someone who's...
you're being really... You need to be kinder.
When a person puts PhD behind their name on Twitter...
But also, Matthew...
Why would you need to do that?
Does that, though.
Jory Micah has behind her name... master's in doctrine, theological doctor, or something like that.
I don't have my letters on.
She put up on her on Twitter yesterday, the day before, how anyone can think that Jesus was serious about or took the Bible as authoritative when he corrected the Old Testament all the time. I mean, where did you get this master's from? which seminary did you go to? Because Jesus never did that. Anyway, this tweet by
you're being like me. You're jumping all over one thing to the next.
I know. Here's this, summing up my dissertation in four words, and there's a colon. Complementarianism is baptized nostalgia. So okay. We were talking about how history.
Okay, let's think about this tweet. This is really actually very interesting.
Before we think about it, let's say so Emily Hunter McGowan, who's the canon theologian for the churches for the sake of others, says, "Ooh," and that's how she said, "OOOH, I want to read this." So imagine thinking of that as a serious dissertation topic, and then a canon theologian in the ACNA thinking, "Oh, this is awesome. This is so good. This is amazing. This is like, you know, Chateaubriand or the theological world." No, it's not. This is woke history. No one who has any kind of serious thinking about the past and the idea of male headship would suggest that it's baptizing the patriarchy. It really there was no biblical basis for it. It's just a whole bunch of cultural stuff imposed onto the church by wicked men who love John Wayne.
Well, I mean, okay, so but go back to the tweet, because I think it's really it's a big thing that's being said. I don't, it's the beginning of Holy Week, so I can't think of the words I want. That there wasn't the postulation that there was an egalitarianness within human society before the Victorian era came about, or that the New Testament was egalitarian.
Yeah.
That's where it all comes from. People insist that Jesus brought into being an egalitarian system that the church suppressed. Mm-hmm. And that it was suppressed for 2,000 years, or maybe 1,500. And then at the dawning of the 1900s, people began to read the Bible in a new and an enlightened way and discover that actually Jesus was egalitarian. That's the substance of their argument, right? You get your PhD and your MA in that before those unenlightened rubes were patriarchalist. And now we've seen that Jesus was egalitarian. Well, that's quite a claim that still hasn't been backed up.
Well, it's not history. It's
not
propaganda.
It's not historical.
It's ideology and propaganda, right?
It hasn't been verified, that claim. And it forces you to accept certain assumptions about humanity. One, that men and women are the same. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to love the CBMW. You don't have to be a complementarian and accept the, I don't know, political and theological assumptions of the CBMW,
right,
to be able to say, actually, men and women are different, and that it is impossible for a man to become a woman in any meaningful sense and understand even what it means to be a woman. Likewise, a woman can never become a man or understand what it means to be a man, because men and women are different. Mm-hmm. That's what complementarianism says, that men and women are different. And it says that there is an order in creation, mm-hmm, that God determines the order, that men and women being different also have an ordered life together, in order that there's not chaos and Lil Nas X Satan shoes, basically.
Right.
But if you say that, if you say that there's an order in creation and that men and women are different, there's no place for you in certain corners of, quote, the church now.
Right. Well,
not alone, let alone society.
So the egalitarian argument is that, I mean, it does so much violence to the shape and the narrative structure of scripture that.
Yeah, I like hard, that violence.
It's hard
performative to, violence
right,
on the
so,
scripture.
So, for example, one prominent theologian, for lack of a better word, in the ACNA, who's teaching at one of our two seminaries, argues that there was no complementary role before the fall, and that when God cursed humanity and said that the woman's desire will be for her husband, but he will rule over her, that was where complementarianism started. And so to go back to the original created order would be to remove any kind of role differentiation or hierarchy from our relationships.
That's really interesting, because in order to say that, you have to ignore the order in which creation was affected by God.
Well,
you have to ignore
how
Adam and Eve were actually created in order to say what that person is saying.
You also have to say that the relationship that's threaded throughout the narrative of scripture between God and Israel, Yahweh and Israel, and Christ and his church, is based on a fallen, so God's calling Israel and Christ is calling the church to a fallen construct, right? So if the woman is to love her husband as the Lord, or to submit to her husband as the Lord, and the man is to love his wife as Christ loves the church, there's clearly in the relationship between Christ and the church a hierarchy, isn't there?
Well, one would
and the one between Yahweh and Israel. I mean, is Israel and Yahweh, are they an equal relationship to one another? No.
Well, but I think that that's the end. I think that's the end of this, is that ultimately the egalitarian has to put him or herself in the position of God.
The whole
you become equal rather than Christ not claiming equality with God, but coming to earth as in Philippians. You claim equality with God through Jesus. It's like, it feels to me sort of deeply and subversively idolatrous.
Little Nas
says. That's what egalitarianism sounds like to me. That even the Christians who talk that way, I feel sort of deeply stressed and grossed out by the way that egalitarians talk about the scripture.
So the first act of violence you have to do is take away the whole nexus of God's love for Israel, Christ's love for his church, and make it something else, because it can't, if that's the end, I mean, the end of the story, Revelation is the church dressed as a bride for her husband. Whereas again, in which there is clear differentiation between the two, Christ as a human man and God, but also a human man, is husband over his church. So there's a definite hierarchy there in the restored and redeemed created order
that lasts forever.
It was foreshadowed in God taking Adam and taking Eve from his body and making Eve both his body and his bride in the beginning. If that doesn't have any kind of hierarchy right there before the fall, or to say that doesn't have any hierarchy before the fall, you have to say this is not also a typology of Christ and his church. It's not also a typology of Israel and Yahweh. That's so violent. You have to rip apart the Bible to say that. And then you come to the New Testament when Paul actually does talk in apostolic terms about how men and women should relate to one another, and how the church should relate with men and women in the church. You have to just say that either Paul was so ignorant of the new order that Christ was creating that he just didn't know, and so we could ignore what Paul's saying because he's writing as a function of his ignorance, social ignorance. Or you have to find a way to eisegete him, his words, so that they don't actually mean what they're saying. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
I can't remember what I was going
to
say.
I mansplained to you.
You totally mansplained me.
There's a patriarchy.
The patriarchy swept in and like... The other thing that's interesting to me is that even Christians now think that hierarchy and order are bad. And first of all, you can't have any church government without hierarchy and order. And it's interesting because what you end up with is a pseudo new hierarchy where the person on Twitter with her PhD behind her assumes hierarchical ex cathedra authority over people's lives through tweeting. And would expect that people would subordinate themselves and their ideology to whatever that is.
Right.
So there is order. There's always order. The question is whether it's accepted as given from God or whether you strive and achieve it on your own by tweeting. And I think that that's, you know, you're going to end up with either a matriarchy or a patriarchy. I mean, you're going to end up with order one way or another.
Right. And it's tending toward matriarchy right now. It's not.
Well, I mean, I come from a matriarchal society. I think it's great when women are, I believe in strong women, but that doesn't preclude me from also believing in strong men. You know, I don't believe in the wilting flower woman who faints because somebody told her she wasn't fully equal, which is also a specious thing because, you know, in a biblically ordered society, the men and the women are equal. Everybody is equal. You're all there together. God invited you to be part of his bride. Like, what more did you want?
Right.
If he tells you who gets to do what, that doesn't mean that you're – so it's interesting that sense of ontological equality as the community which comprises the bride before God, that's not enough. Like you have to have equality in everything, in outcomes. You have to have a worldly idea of what ontological equality means,
right,
in order to participate in the church.
The egalitarian argument is you can't have ontological equality if there's not functional equality.
Yeah.
Like if you're not.
And that's also inhuman. Yeah. I mean, that's just, it also means you can't read the Bible because, you know, even the voices of women who come through in the scripture quite strongly, even when they're written by men, you just lose the depth and richness of what women say in the scripture and how important that is for how God is saving Israel. Mm-hmm. You can't read the Bible. You're right. It commits violence against the text. It's like, it's terrorizing the text. And it's really flat way to live too. Like men and women don't really, men and women, if they don't think about it too much and they don't try to embrace weirdo ideology and insist on being egalitarian, end up ordering their lives in a more old-fashioned way. And you kick it – people now kick against the goads for that. They're angry because they end up doing all the housework. And it shouldn't have to be that way. Men should pick up, you know, the men never wake up and think, I really want to clean the house today. That's a source of rage and sadness, or as she called it, nostalgia. Like, what was the tweet? Complementarianism.
Is a baptized nostalgia.
Is baptized nostalgia. So when you wake up and you're in the morning, your husband and your male, your sons don't want to clean and you have to berate them as I do and bribe them to clean your house for you.
It's patriarchy.
It's nostalgia.
Right. Cause they really should. I mean, they've been trained not to want to do that because they really should. They
on their own, they would want to.
Yeah. if they weren't just like this glaze of patriarchy, just slathered over our brains.
Well, it's where all the anger about executive function comes from, because I think God, it's not part of the fall, but it's the fall has affected it. Women keep their whole households in their own heads.
Yeah.
They keep all of their children, all of their households, all of the stuff, they keep them in their heads. And they want another person to come and share that mental load with them. But men don't do that. They just don't. So you have to reorganize a man's mental space,
yep,
in order for him to participate with you in. Whereas if you thought that it was a privilege and an honor to have all of that in your head, that was a loving, like, it might be too much, you might need help, of course, but to be able to carry that in your head as God carries Israel through the wilderness, like,
yeah,
that's not wicked. That's a blessing. Like anything, it can become too much, but
it's not
the patriarchy,
right?
It's God that you're angry with, I would suggest, if you're angry about the executive function conversation. Okay, well, we've really beat that down.
We didn't talk about what we thought we were going to talk about.
So. I can't remember what we were going to talk about.
A little mass, and then we were going to talk about gardening. And
well, I thought we did talk about, I mean, we what we did.
But that was we're going
to be. What we did is that. We used Lil Nas X to bash. That's really wicked.
Yeah.
Do you want to say anything about Holy Week?
Yeah. So I guess if you're a good shepherd, this is the best Holy Week I've had in a long time, because
it hasn't started yet.
Well, it hasn't started yet, but I mean, as far as my workload goes, we have lots of people who are preaching this week. So I'm only preaching on Sunday, Easter Sunday. So I can devote all my powers and strength to
cleaning the house.
Oh, how did you say to writing a good Easter sermon?
Maybe. Oh,
see, there, it's the patriarchy.
Yeah, I thought you were going to clean the house for me this week.
Sweet, I have to study.
So you have to clean. No, but I also really need you to clean.
And maybe like next week when we have time off, we can start clearing out the garden more. You did a great job.
Yeah, I cleared away a lot of brush and dug around to see if anything lasted through the winter. And I'm pretty encouraged. I do need to start. It's late. I need to start my seeds. It's kind of too late, but
it's been a good winter though.
Yeah. I think we got a lot of snow, so that's good.
Yeah. So the ground is moist. Like it wasn't last year.
It was kind of dry.
Yeah.
I'm excited about gardening. I'm excited for all of my family to clean my house this week. I'm just going to keep saying it.
I mean, you do have six children who don't have school.
I know, but they don't do anything. And when I tell my sons, you need, in order to have this thing, you need to do this other thing first, they look at me like it's the sound of the ocean in their ears. They just like, it's as if their mother hasn't spoken.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We're gonna garden and we're gonna make Easter dinner, but we don't know what it is yet because we haven't been shopping to see what there is.
Well, there's me lamb.
Lamb. My mother's making, she bought a lamb cake mold, but it was much smaller than she thought. So she's gonna probably, I thought she should make three lamb cakes for the Trinity, not just two.
Sweet, that doesn't make sense. You can't have three lamb cakes for the Trinity.
I know each member of the Trinity is not a lamb.
But
we could have a little flock of lambs.
And they're not separate things. You know, like,
I know, but.
So you're making a Trinitarian.
But the question is, you're like committing some kind of heresy with that. Enough cake, though, if you don't make three cakes? And then what is your theological basis for making three cakes instead of only one?
Well, I wouldn't say the Trinity because then you'd be a heretic. I mean, you could like say functionally we need three cakes, but you can't say it's like the Trinity.
Because I think
then
you can do that, though.
Nope, that's.
And then you can put your PhD things on Twitter.
That's tritheism, PhD.
That's tritheism. Well, I think you should apologize right now for being mean.
I'm sorry. For those of you who are members of the churches for the sake of others.
You should be able to say it without choking. Because
I offer my sincere apologies for for not recognizing the theological seriousness and the depth of thought and humility. And the deep humility that goes into naming your diocese churches for the sake of others.
I mean, I feel like that's not adequate. So fortunately for you, you can spend Good Friday thinking about how wicked you are rather than how wicked other people are. So, I think that's it. I think we should end this.
The podcast for the sake of others.
The podcast. Well, you know what? I only did this because I value other people. I was thinking I shouldn't do this anymore, but so many people have written me and said, podcast for the sake of others. I really have set aside my own desires for those of other people.
I mean, I wanted
to say that on the air.
I'm not sure how adequately human language would be able to describe our sacrifice here. our just how much we do for the sake of others.
Well, I feel like I like Jesus dying on the cross and give myself for others.
It's really only
the cross that makes sense of my own labor.
Your own sacrifice. It's exactly like that.
Yeah.
So the way Jesus was like a foreshadowing of you.
This podcast. No, you and me together, right? Because we're bound together. And so we together reflect Christ's glory into the world.
Well, Christ reflects our glory. So it's just, that's right. He's foreshadowing us. So anyway, that was heretical. So it's
okay. I think this is over. This is a great way to kick off Holy Week. Thank you so much for listening. And if we haven't gotten in trouble, we'll be back next week.